This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
On the wheel, wave hello, yeah. Probably mad, ain't ditto. La la la, I'm not Carmelo. Words to the op, they gon' drop better lay low. Ha ha.
1:25, we'll talk to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough, former Phoenix Suns GM. Ask him about what he thinks when it comes to these finals, whether or not Phoenix is how much of a chance he gives Phoenix on the road tomorrow night, whether this thing's done or not. Ask him, too, about the Grizzlies in the draft. Draft coming up next Thursday. What should the Grizzlies do at number 17? Ryan McDonough, a good man to ask. He drafted several of those Phoenix Suns stars, including Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton. But first, every Monday around this time, we like to give out a little respect. We do it in the form of burgers. Let's do it.
Now, it's time for the Jason and John Show, Respect Burgers. R-E-S-E-C-T. Sizzling Respect Burgers, served hot and fresh from Jason and John.
So, first one, get Larry Brown a burger. That man deserves
respect.
It.
A respect burger for Larry Brown right out of the gate. Coming in hot.
What's your, I'll ask you listeners, how many of y'all might have a parent, if you're a little bit older, or a grandparent who's in their 80s, what'd they do over the weekend? Were they in front of the television? Were they in the rocking chair?
Nursing home?
Were they in nursing home? Were they out gardening? Because Larry Brown is 80, and he was out working. And if you want to know the commitment level of your assistants, your assistant coaches in college basketball, you know, you watch them during events such as the Peach Jam, which is going on, obviously, in North Augusta, South Carolina. We talked about Team Thad being a part of that. And for many a year, most of the college basketball coaches in this great land all descend upon North Augusta, South Carolina for the Peach Jam. We've got basically the premier event on the EYBL.
They're looking for recruits.
Right.
Yeah.
So you go to this thing. You didn't have it last year because of COVID, so everybody's back. They're all packed into a gym now. Still no fans this year.
Yeah.
If I read Gary's column correctly, still no fans. Okay. But you've got all the coaches in attendance, and the teams are back, including Team Thad, now a member of the Nike circuit. But back to the point, Larry Brown was in them gyms. Larry Brown, at 80 years old, was in those gyms watching those players.
Man.
Now, he had Rodney Hamilton right next to him.
Uh-huh.
In many of these cases, looked like helping point him out, which you'd expect.
Is that
Larry's,
his handler, I guess?
Larry's got to get caught up. But right now, Rodney Hamilton's that guy that's leading Larry from gym to gym, because in this Riverview Park Activity Center, I think it's called, Brad, been there several a time. Back in my day as Tiger beat writer.
Sure.
You basically got 4 gyms. And you've got a schedule of where guys are going to be, so you got to get around, get through all the other coaches, stop with the small talk, get to your gym to where that game's going to be. So it's a little bit of hustle and bustle, particularly in years where you have fans there, so there'll be a little bit less since you don't have – because, Brad, I don't know, Gary probably told you the story many times.
Sure.
When the fans come in, you can get right on top of these coaches.
On top of the court.
Yeah. On top of the court. But
right on it.
But also, you're nose to nose with these coaches, and you're rubbing elbows in a lot of instances with these coaches out in the, out in the reception area of the place.
You're with the people.
Yes. So without fans, it will be a little bit less congested. Mm. So a little bit less that Larry has to plow through, that Rodney has to pull Larry through this year with no fans. But still, look, Larry Brown, like I said, is doing more work in over the weekend than most 80-year-olds do for a whole year. So you got to give him the respect for that. Didn't think when this was initially, brought back, John Martin had been all over it, that Penny was going to try to do this again, that this would necessarily be the role for Larry at 80.
Yeah.
Sitting in gyms, watching prospects. And a lot of times, Brad, it's not so much, he's on our list. Mm-hmm. He just knocked down a jumper. He's good. This confirms it for me. A lot of times it's just about sitting there. So for a Jalen Duren, who Memphis obviously is in on, along with Kentucky and Miami, the importance isn't sitting there for Larry Brown to judge whether or not Jalen Duren's a good player. Everybody and their mama could tell you Jalen Duren's a good player. You don't need a basketball expert or a coaching icon to tell you that. But the point in a lot of these things is that you're sitting there.
You're showing love.
Jalen Duren wants to see Kentucky sitting there. He wants to see Miami sitting there. And so half the time, really it's just more about the coach showing that attention to the player he's trying to recruit rather than going in there and trying to decide, oh, I like this guy better than this guy. Most of these guys on this EYBL circuit at this point are going to be pretty solid prospects, and many of them real bona fide Division I prospects. But a lot of the time you're just going in to show that love so a Jalen Duren, as he did, sees a Larry Brown watching and says, oh, okay, Memphis is going all out for me. So that's a big part of it, too. And we know Larry Brown was certainly on hand to see Jalen Duren. Now, that situation worth revisiting. We touched on it Thursday when I was out on vacation.
Take us through this. This is worth
things
it.
Things have changed since we were last on because, as was initially reported by Kentucky Sports Radio, and is no longer the case, Kentucky's not getting Kofi Coburn, who was in the transfer portal after pulling his name out of the NBA draft, the Illinois center, headed back to Illinois.
Going back. And boy, so they're fired up at Illinois.
Well, the chain reaction was going to be, and what we were focused on, and I think many people around the Memphis program who felt so good about Jalen Duren were also focused on, was that Kentucky, okay, dominoes fall. They get Kofi Coburn. Well, they're going to fall out of the Jalen Duren sweepstakes, and it'll be Memphis, Miami, and then the Pro League.
Sure.
Right? Well, that didn't happen.
Now we got Kentucky in the mix.
Kentucky's still in the mix, and apparently, just like many of the folks who cover Memphis, because you saw this when I was leaving out here, Rivals folks were changing their picks for Duren to Memphis. Apparently, the folks around Kentucky feel just as good about the idea of landing Jalen Duren as Memphis did last week when they thought, hell, that Kentucky was getting COVID and all that. You know, so this one has been fascinating. It's been intriguing to watch because at one point we're thinking, okay, well, it's not going to be much of a race because Jalen Duren's not going to turn down $1 million from the G League. That he'll eventually end up pro. And many had pegged him that way. Okay, name, image, and likeness comes on down.
Yeah.
Right? Kofi Coburn looks for a second like he's going to Kentucky. All of a sudden, folks around Memphis start feeling good about it. Now, all of a sudden, Kofi's going back to Illinois. People around Kentucky are feeling good about it. We know Miami feels good about it because they've got his assistant coach, his former assistant coach in high school, on staff down there. So this one has changed, much like you were talking about with the NBA playoffs and how for two games we think one
We've
thing and then
our
two
emotions
more games.
Here.
That there's been a lot of shifts in the recruitment of Jalen Duren. Memphis is hoping having Larry Brown is a thing that can help them, but Memphis was also hoping that they wouldn't be in a fight with Kentucky anymore. That appears to have changed. Kentucky was all hands on deck for Jalen during the Peach Jam this past week, and will continue to be, it feels like, right along with Memphis and Miami. So it's not just the pros. Kentucky's in there, Miami's in there, feels like, and this thing going to be a fight down to the end. It's supposed to be after the Peach Jam, which I think ends this weekend, Brad, goes up through the week and ends this weekend, that Duren is supposed to, I think, number one, reclassify to 2021. Remember, he's number one 2022. And then I think make a pick soon after. At least that's the expectation. Memphis still in it right now, but the dynamics have changed so much already in this thing, and they appear to have Kentucky right there. But you got Larry Brown out there fighting for you and watching you and representing you in these games that Duren was playing over at the Peach Jam.
You guys were earlier on this, and John in particular pointed out, because I think we weren't under the impression that he was going to be a recruiting assistant.
Correct.
Because right? you hear Larry Brown, and you're like, yeah, he's 80-year-old Larry Brown. He ain't going to be on the road. Turns out, like, he's one of your lead recruiting guys in terms of just being present, getting face-to-face with these guys.
Now you're hoping he can help you land Jalen Duren.
Like he pulls some weight.
You've already done the majority of the legwork if you're Penny Hardaway, and you're just hoping having the only guy to win an NCAA and NBA title in history can help you do that. You're hoping that right now if you're Penny Hardaway. Question going to be, again.
Can you beat Kentucky?
There's
kind of feel.
And a Kentucky team that's dead set on getting him, apparently, to the point that they're – They've got all their assistants and John watching him, trying to get him. You know, it's going to be a fight to the end. We already knew it would be, trying to get him from the pros. But now if you're going to have Kentucky into the end, too, it's going to be tough. We'll see if Larry Brown can make a difference in that. But shout out to 80-year-old Larry Brown. Will be 81 in September. Respect, Burger, to him for being back in that gym over in North Augusta, South Carolina, and trying to do work for Memphis. How about that? All right, second
respect.
One. We're sticking with Peach Jam here.
Yep.
Because I've gotten my text from Norton Hurd, and I was right. They are at the top of their pool, or right there, one of the top teams in their pool, and they did qualify for the rest of the Peach Jam.
Is this Team Thad?
Which picks back up, yes, Team Thad, which picks back up tomorrow and continues through the week. Here's the deal. We've never had, as far as I know, unless I missed it, Penny Hardaway tried for years and years and years, and I covered many of the teams that came close and ultimately did not win.
No Memphis champ out of here?
Not the big title.
Okay.
Now, the 16 and under, I want to say that the campaign, Nick King, to Bluff City Legends, I think it was at that point, I think their name was. It was right before Penny had come back in, that they won the 16 and under. Because I want to tell you, we talked about this. I want to tell you, I was there. Campaign threw, like, the winning alley-oop and got the ball tipped in, I think, by Nick King. They won that one, but that was the 16 and under. That wasn't the big one, the 17 and under. No Memphis team has done that. Now, Team Thad, you'll remember when last we saw them, they were winning a couple of years ago. They were winning an Under Armour title, national title, in their last season on that circuit before what? Penny leaves, Team Penny. They go on, leaves the Nike contract up for grabs, and Team Thad moves off the Under Armour circuit onto the Nike circuit, first year's last year, but the Peach Jam chance, that opportunity is taken away due to COVID.
Interesting.
So they are back. For a first year, in its first year that they're at least able to play, they're back with guys like Chandler Jackson from CBHS, guys like Amar Knox from Bartlett, who was committed to Memphis. And, yes, they played very well, one of the top finishers in their pool, and they have qualified. Hopefully, they'll have a chance to win this thing. But, again, it's not just them. You got Jalen Duren and teams like that in your team final. They're in this thing as well. So it'll be tough to win. But the respect is for a Team Thad squad that – you know, was really down last year. You had Musa Cisse on that squad. They were really hoping over there and do some damage. They're right back on the scene in their first year permitted to do so, thanks to now that COVID is somewhat gone, not completely gone as we've talked about. Hopefully they'll be able to get through it and Team Thad can have a nice run in this thing, maybe bring back a national Peach Jam title. But respect for Team Thad for advancing through.
Nice burger there.
Respect.
Give her a triple.
Okay, this is a triple decker burger, respect burger.
Well, I don't know what's five. Maybe we should give her five.
Wow, that's a big one. She's
a five time. That'd be four.
Four plus one.
Five time world all around champion, defending Olympic champion, Simone Biles. We talked about how the Olympics are coming up. She is the GOAT when it comes to gymnastics. Had to give her a respect burger as the Olympics are set to open on Friday because she could win as many as, and I figure. Many of the eyes associated with us Americans and the Olympics will be on Simone Biles. She can win as many as five gold medals in Tokyo. If she does, it would tie the record that right now is held by Soviet legend Larissa Latinina.
Miss Latinina.
For the most Olympic gold medals earned by a female gymnast. Biles has already won 10 more World Championship gold medals than any other female gymnast in history. No. She is officially the GOAT. And at 24, this is her last time through. Remember, this got postponed for her last year as well. I mean, she's not going to be doing this 4 years from now at 27, 28 years old. Jeez. This is the last run of the GOAT, and I figure all of us will have eyes on her as she goes for, count them, five, not four, but five gold medals to try to. If she does, it would tie the record held by, we said, Soviet legend Larissa Latinina.
Yeah.
So respect burger out for the GOAT because I think she's coming for business once the Olympics start on Friday. And then finally, respect burger for, we touched on this earlier, I can't hate on him. Some say I do any chance I get just because I like Jordan. LeBron James, 31.6 million in ticket sales over the weekend, gave him the right to go out on Twitter, on social media, do a high haters, a high emoji. Shout out to LeBron, man. A lot of us were prepared to hate on this thing. Was projected the film would bring in about $20 million in its first 3 days of release. So 31.6 puts them in the number one slot over the weekend. Which one? Black Widow? is what
Black
it knocked
Widow's
down?
Number two, yeah.
Yeah. Had you? Are you any interest in that? For
Jake
you?
Saw it. Okay, my son is a big time. I am not a movie person. I'll be honest with you. I don't like going to movies. I don't like even watching them at home. I spend a lot of time with documentaries and watching sports. But apparently, Black Widow is like a must see movie. So for them to knock out Black Widow, of course. This is the second weekend
for Black Widow, and it still did like 26, and it's even in the second weekend.
Listen, this is impressive.
So Black Widow is still doing pretty good.
Yeah.
Here's some context for LeBron. The film, you know, it's the sequel to the 1996 Michael Jordan original, also debuted at no additional cost. You guys know this for HBO Max subscribers. You could watch that for free if you were already subscribed, like Godzilla versus King Kong back in March. That opened to $32 million in its opening weekend. So between everything, HBO Max, the opening, the box office, all that, $32 million for them, $31.7 million for Space Jam, A New Legacy. So you would say coming in over $11 million over expectations, that it was a success. And we know LeBron's been focused on this thing for Lord knows how long, chasing ghosts, chasing the goat, trying to be like Mike. It wasn't bad once you got past the first 30 minutes. So, respect, Burger, though, to LeBron James. I ain't hating. You go out and do $31.7 million your first weekend. That's not bad. That's pretty good.
I have a respect, Burger, I'd like to add for baseball fans here. Alex Reyes, this weekend, has the record now for saves, a Major League Baseball record, capping the series they won against San Francisco yesterday. And he has the record to start a career now, 24-24.
How about that?
This guy has been through injuries. He's had problems with his arm. He once punched and broke a hand and then had to sit out some more, and he worked his way back. And finally, I mean, he was in the All-Star game this year, so they've got a reel.
I know you weren't going to give it to the Yankee fan who threw a ball back at the – did you see that? He threw a ball at the – Yankees – Yankee got a guy in the outfield threw a ball back at a – back, I want to say it was a Red Sox player. Yeah, hit him in the back. Could have injured him.
Oh, he needs a disrespect. There's our disrespect dog right
there. He got banned for life.
You can't throw it at the player. Now, in Chicago, your team is the one that started this, where you throw the bat in the Wrigley Field
bleachers.
We throw
it back. We don't throw it at people.
You don't throw it at people.
And they hit the player in the back.
That's just terrible.
Yeah, guy was going crazy. I'm pretty sure he was trying to throw a ball into the stands to a fan, and this guy intercepted it and threw it back at him and hit him in the back, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, that's going to be our disrespect dog.
Thing could have hit him, man.
Man, that is disrespectful. I don't like throwing it back.
Got a lifetime ban.
I've never believed in what the Cubs fans do either, because it's like I once caught a Daryl Strawberry foul ball at Busch Stadium just waiting in batting practice. And I didn't like the Mets. But it was Daryl Strawberry, and I thought, you know what? I'd like to have that foul ball, and I kept it. I don't think you throw it back. I think that's a bad practice. All you Cub fans, you get disrespect dogs.
No way. No. Just because we throw it back, we don't throw it at people. We do it. It's a tradition.
And
We're not dropping it for some Cardinal fan. That's how we do it. You got to respect
just
it.
Just don't
get
throw
hit
it at
it
somebody.
When you come to Wrigley. Yeah, don't throw it at somebody like Yankee fans were doing. Got banned for life, at least one did. When we come back, we're going to talk to Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Ask him about the finals, whether or not he thinks this thing's over. What's Chris Paul, what's Devin Booker got to do to force a Game 7 on Thursday? We'll ask him that. Ask him about the Grizzlies and their needs as we head into the NBA draft next Thursday. We'll do all that with Ryan McDonough when we get back. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
92.9 FM, ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
92.9 ESPN from Odyssey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Okay. barbecue and sports in Memphis go together perfectly with us. You're listening to the Jason and John Show live from the Topps Barbecue Studios, online at toppsbarbecue.com. And with a new location in Bartlett on Stage Road, the best barbecue and burgers from Topps go perfectly with sports on 92.9 FM, ESPN.
All right, we're back, and on the line is Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. He joins us now. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview, presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Ryan, appreciate you joining us. Last time we talked, it felt like a much different series. I was asking you, heck, if Chris Paul was going to be Finals MVP. We're in a different place now with the Bucks up 3-2. If Phoenix is to force a Game 7 on Thursday, how does it happen, Ryan?
You're right, Jason. The series has really flipped over the last week or so. It's great to be on with you.
Pleasure.
As always. And, yeah, I think Chris Paul needs to play better, especially on the defensive end. When I watched the game on Saturday night, I did not think Paul or DeAndre Ayton played particularly well. You look at the box score, they put up good numbers. Paul had 21 points and 11 assists. Ayton had 20 points and 10 rebounds. But I didn't think those guys had enough of an impact, especially Paul on the defensive end of the court, Jason. I feel like the Milwaukee Bucks are really targeting him, especially when he gets matched up on Chris Middleton. And he was great. It's a little bit head-scratching, and it makes me wonder if there's something more going on with Chris Paul's health, because he was terrific in Game 6 against the L.A. Clippers in the Western Conference Finals. When the Suns closed that out, he was fantastic in Game 1 of this series. And for whatever reason, he's been on a little bit of a downward slide. He hasn't had the impact on the games, especially on the defensive end. I mean, you look at it this way. Phoenix scored 119 points at home in a Finals game. Jason, their field goal percentages were 55% from the floor, 68% from three, and 91% from the line, and they lost the game.
I'm with you. Something hadn't been right with Chris Paul. What can he is he capable at this point of his career? And I'm with you. I'm wondering if he's fully healthy. But can he turn it up defensively to a point I guess against a Bucks team too that you got to factor in, Ryan? That's 9-1 at home. Is there a next level for Chris Paul there? How likely is that he can turn up defensively?
That's the challenge and the million-dollar question. And the dangerous thing for the Phoenix Suns now is Game 5 was the first one that all three of Milwaukee stars, Giannis Antetokounmpo, Chris Middleton, Andrew Holiday, played well. Right. So if Middleton and Holiday in particular have it rolling, there's nowhere to hide Paul defensively. He has to guard one of those guys. I mean, Phoenix has tried to move him around. Monty Williams has put him on P.J. Tucker, which, you know, makes some sense strategically. But then the challenge there, Jason, this has been one of the differentiating factors in the series, is Milwaukee has pounded the offensive boards. Right. If you look at the number of shot attempts they've gotten, they have a significant advantage over Phoenix there. So even when they shoot poor percentages, you know, they didn't shoot great percentages. I think it was in Game 4 in Milwaukee. They get so many more shots because they've committed fewer turnovers than the Suns in those games, and they've gotten so many more shot attempts that over time the math seems to be in their favor, especially if when they miss, guys like P.J. Tucker and Pat Connaughton are able to get on the offensive glass. Yep. And get Milwaukee second shot opportunities. So I think Paul and the entire Suns team, led by Paul on the perimeter, has to be really solid defensively. Jason, they also have to box out and try to hold their man off the glass when the ball goes up in the air so Milwaukee doesn't keep shooting till they eventually make a basket.
Where would this rank if Giannis does this, and I think he's right around 32 for the series. Ryan, if he does this and, you know, he's coming out, you've won two MVPs, a Defensive Player of the Year, you get a championship at the age of 26, how high do you put him up on a list of accomplished stars, Ryan, in terms of Giannis and how consistent he's been, and even doing it through injury, too? You got to factor that into these playoffs.
Yeah, he's clearly headed to the Hall of Fame someday, Jason. He has a chance to cement himself as one of the all-time greats, and I think if he is able to close it out, if Milwaukee wins one of the next two games, this will just be the start of his legacy. I don't see any reason the Bucks can't continue to contend for championships, given the age of their stars and given that Giannis, Middleton, and Holiday, their big three, those guys are under contract for a long time. With the recent extensions, especially the ones this past offseason to Giannis and then in season with Drew Holiday. So everything is aligning in the Bucks' favor. I'll admit it. I wasn't sure that a team could win a championship with its best player struggling to make shots over the top of the defense from the perimeter in today's, you know, pace and space, analytic heavy NBA where a lot of threes are attempted, Jason. But Giannis has shown that he's the most dominant player we've had in the league in the paint since Shaq. And really, it doesn't matter if you don't make that many shots away from the basket. If teams can't stop you from getting into the restricted area and scoring at or around the rim, then your jumper is secondary. And he's shown that he's that good and that dominant. Even when teams try to wall off the paint and form a wall like Phoenix has done, Giannis is still able to get there and dominate the game in different ways.
How big a part of this has been Drew Holiday? I love the pickup when they made it and talked about what he can do defensively. When you're getting 27 and 13 out of him in a crucial game five, it just seems like it helps put you over the top. Drew Holiday and sort of what he's been able to do in this final series.
Yeah, and I give Drew Holiday a lot of credit because it's easy to forget at this point. He really struggled, you know, throughout the playoffs at times offensively. His defense has always been pretty consistent, but offensively he struggled even earlier in this series. And you remember some of these guys on Twitter had stats flashing up his shooting numbers and percentages, comparing them with Eric Bledsoe's. Yep. And frankly, a couple weeks ago, Jason, they didn't look all that different with Holiday's shooting struggles. So I give him a ton of credit for how he self-corrected. As you know, a lot of times with players, that doesn't happen until the offseason. He's done it in season and in the middle of series at the highest level here in the NBA playoffs and now in the finals. So he was fantastic in Game 5. And one thing I don't think enough people are talking about is just the cojones that it takes to make the plays he made down the stretch.
Yes.
Jason, keep in mind the situation. I mean, Phoenix, they'd had a terrific comeback in the fourth quarter. They have the ball with one of the best offensive players in the league with a live dribble in the last 15 or 20 seconds of the game. And Drew Holiday, who with Phoenix in the penalty, if he fouls, puts a 90-plus percent free throw shooter in Booker at the line. Not only does he steal the ball, not only does he come up with it and push it the other way, but he has the courage to throw a lob to Giannis, who's obviously a great lob target. But Jason, if that pass goes out of bounds or if it's off target, Phoenix is now coming back the other way, maybe in an odd man rush with a chance to win the game and put themselves up 3-2. So I give Holiday a lot of credit. He played well throughout the game, but those plays at the end of the game, I don't think many guys would have made those because they took some courage to make them. And to his credit, he came up huge on both ends of the floor.
He absolutely did. Love what he's been for them and love him having that game in that moment. How open, Ryan, is Phoenix's window? Does this go away if I expect Chris Paul to be back in some form. I'd ask you about that. Sounds like you do too, but you know the West is going to be better next year. You know teams like Golden State will be back and healthier and have Klay Thompson back. Can they be right back next year with a 37-year-old Paul? Like, is there a limit to this window? How has Phoenix arrived to the point that you can expect to see them in a top three seed, next 3-4 years? What do you think in terms of where they're at?
I think Phoenix should be a very good team for a long time, given that three of their best four players are between 22 and 24 years old, DeAndre Ayton, Devin Booker, and Mikal Bridges. But, yeah, Chris Paul is the wild card. That's the limiting factor, Jason, or the factor that puts him over the top. How long can Chris continue to play at a high level? He hasn't played as well as the playoffs have gone on. How long is he the point guard? How long is he, if not dominant, a very good point guard? It's going to be expensive, especially if he opts out of his deal and wants a multi-year contract. Keep in mind that Bridges and Ayton are eligible for contract extensions this offseason as well.
Right.
So that's the challenge, Jason, as you know. You talk about windows, and Phoenix's window should be open for a while, especially with Booker, Ayton, and Bridges kind of anchoring the team. But in the Western Conference, there are no guarantees. The two LA teams, if they get healthy, will be better. You mentioned Golden State. They should be significantly better. And then the young up-and-coming teams, including the one in your backyard, like the Grizzlies, like the Pelicans. So, that's what's so tough when you get to this level. We talked about it all the time when I was in the Celtics front office, and we seemed to go to the conference finals or NBA finals every other year and ended up playing the Lakers. It's such a fine line between winning and losing, and it's so fragile, Jason. That's why both teams, I think, especially in Phoenix's case, coming out of the Western Conference, it's important to try to seize this opportunity because there are no guarantees that opportunity will be there going forward.
If you are in that Memphis Grizzlies front office, you mentioned that, I'm glad you did, looking ahead to next week's draft, and you've got the 17 pick, how attractive, I guess, is are you looking at those Golden State slots? You know, they've got 7-14, and we know they want to win right now. I just wonder, the idea that maybe you'd slide them a vet and maybe a pick to try to get one of those picks, that looks attractive to me. What do you think the Grizzlies end up doing? Do you think they're active and maybe try to move up and do it maybe with a Golden State team that could use something right now? Maybe you slide them a Kyle Anderson. What do you think the Grizzlies do if you're at 17? Got a lot of options at that point.
Yeah, they do, and it's funny you should bring that up, because I did an Odyssey mock draft with Brian Scalabrine and others in conjunction with Locked On and Chad Ford and some other draft experts were on it, and that was actually one of the trades they came up with, Jason, as they mocked out the draft. I think it was some combination of Kyle Anderson and the 17th pick, 4-7, to Golden State. So I think a lot of smart people are thinking the way you're thinking. Would Memphis continue to be patient? I think they should be patient, because I've always thought, Jason, you build around your best players, and Memphis's best players are young. You know, they want to take a next step, especially after getting that taste of making the playoffs and having some initial success in the series against Utah. But Ja Morant, Jaren Jackson Jr., these guys are young. So I think if you can bring in another young stud, and as I look at this draft, I do think there's a drop-off around that mid-lottery range. I think that's something that, that Memphis should look at. Can they get up and get a Scotty Barnes or somebody like that? Davion Mitchell, I think, would be terrific at the two in the backcourt next to Ja Morant. So I think the Grizz should be active, but it's easier said than done because, as you know, so much of our league or pro sports in general is about the trend line, and Memphis, I'm sure, wants to stay as a playoff team. It's easier, I think, in theory sometimes than in practice to trade a veteran player away when it means your team may take a step back in the short term, even if that is the prudent long-term move.
I think our man Gary Parrish, obviously a national columnist over at CBS Sports, has got, if the Grizzlies stayed put at 17, has Chris Duarte there out of Oregon. What do you think about Duarte as a prospect, a guy who could knock down the three and play some defense for you potentially? What do you think about him?
Yeah, Memphis has had success with those kind of proven college players, a little bit older, one at a high level. Obviously just a year ago, what they did with Desmond Bain, who really had a nice rookie year,
absolutely,
with his strength and with his defensive ability and ability to make spot up threes. And I think that's really important for Memphis to continue to surround Ja Morant with shooting. You and I have talked about how we think he's going to be a terrific player, and if he can expand his game, or the way he can expand his game the quickest is adding a three-point shot, but continue to get shooting around him, continue to get experience, and I think that is a smart move if they stay in that range. If they don't move up, if you move up into the mid-lottery, you probably want a guy with a little more upside who could potentially be a star, but again, they've drafted very well with their later picks, with guys like Baines, Xavier Tillman, and others, I think he'd be a nice fit in a Grizzlies uniform, and another rookie, but a rookie you can plug in and potentially can get some rotational minutes right away for Memphis.
And then we know, the draft, obviously you're looking to add something good and maybe something that you can develop for a while, because I'm with you that I don't think it's the Grizzlies' time to start planning for top four seeds, so you've got some time, but we realize too that a priority this offseason is Jaren Jackson and his development and getting, not just getting healthy, but developing him. Ryan, if you're in that front office, how much, you can speak to this, how much are you checking in on that progress? You're going to hear it from folks, obviously, that Jaren's focused and doing his work, but how much are you personally checking in with him during the offseason to try to make sure he gets to those, meets those goals?
Yeah, a lot. And if I'm in the Memphis front office, I'm encouraging Jaren to be around the facility and working with the coaches and training staff as much as possible in the offseason. That's something we did when I was GM of the Phoenix Suns with Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and Mikal Bridges and some of the guys who have gone on to play pretty well elsewhere, T.J. Warren and Bogdan Bogdanovic. So anytime you get a young player like that, Jason, you want to get your hands on him and be around him as much as possible, and have him work on what he's going to work on in the games. I think Jaren, in terms of the priorities, obviously first and foremost, most of his health. He needs to get healthy and stay healthy. And then the rebounding, I think, will be the next step for him. I love his ability to make a shot. I love his ability to block shots, but he needs to become a better rebounder, which he should with his size and length and athleticism. But it's a big offseason for Jaren, and it's a big offseason for the Grizzlies front office relative to Jaren, because keep in mind, he was in the 2018 draft class. He's approaching the last year of his rookie skill deal, Jason, which, as you know, means he'll be extension eligible. So I'll be very interested to see if that that happens or not with Jaren. And frankly, I think a lot of that will be the offseason, based on the offseason work Jaren puts in and how healthy the Grizzlies front office thinks he is, not only now, but how healthy they think he'll be over the next 3 to 5 years.
Ryan, it's always a pleasure, always a blessing to the show, getting to pick your brain, man. Really appreciate your time today, sir.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Jason. Always great to be on with you guys.
Pleasure. That was Odyssey NBA Insider Ryan McDonough. Insider calls are brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. We know life is busy, so come to Shell to fill up, save up, and snack up to make the most of the stop you need to make. I mean, that's if we're talking about off-season things that need to happen for the Memphis Grizzlies, that's number one, right? More important than hitting a home run or hoping you get something good and at number 17 or moving, right? It's Jaren Jackson, right? Because that's your number four pick from a few years ago that you're hoping is going to be a cornerstone. It's getting him healthy and making sure he's meeting all of the metric goals, that kind of thing, feels like to me.
The trade that he was talking about was, he does a great job. And I do know he works in those three players he drafted nicely because he drafted them. But I would probably do the same thing.
Oh,
but,
man, yes.
You know, Chris Paul's obviously a big part of that. So the trade he talked about in their mock was the Grizzlies getting this Michael Mulder, a trade for the 14th pick from
Golden State.
Yeah.
That's one of the two they've got. Okay.
Yeah, so Peyton, Mulder, and another player who I don't know, Alan Spalig, I don't even know. It's a bench player for them. And the Warriors getting Kyle Anderson and the 22 first-rounder from Utah. And the Grizz moving up to 14 to pick James Bouknight.
Bouknight from UConn.
He's from UConn. That's who they have the Grizzlies picking at 14 if they were to move up. I don't know much about Bouknight. I know he's a guard.
6'5 guard, athletic. There's some questions about, you know, defensively, but that's almost every guy in this draft almost. Bouknight can get to the rim. He's a slasher. Scorer, man, is what he is.
He'd be a good pick, too. Then. That's kind of what you need. 6'5 guard, developed.
The three-point shot is not consistent.
Right.
It was not consistent at UConn, but he is a bucket, is what he is. Mm. So I just like the idea of the Grizzlies moving up and taking advantage. Because Golden State is not going to take those two picks and use them both on young players that may or may not be ready to contribute to what they're hoping is a team that can win a title next year.
Nope.
Like, they're, well, speaking of windows, that window is closing for them. So instead of taking two young rookies who might be at the end of your bench, makes more sense to me to use those picks to go out and get you a veteran like a Kyle Anderson.
Kyle Anderson would be perfect
that can
for
help
them.
You right now and win now.
Yeah.
So I don't see that. That's why, to me, it feels like an opportunity for teams like the Grizzlies who want to move up. Right, you do that by giving them some talent that can win right now.
Yeah.
That's, for you, expendable. Kyle Anderson would be what he comes off the books after next year.
Yeah.
And you get another young player that you'd have time to develop. So does that have the Grizzlies making a pick at 17 too?
It has them.
That's what I thought. It's got them taking a pick at 17 as well.
Keon Johnson from Tennessee.
Right. So not giving Golden State the 17 to move up, but keeping the 17, giving Golden State Kyle and a draft pick.
And the 22 pick.
And so you've got two first-round picks.
You get two first-round picks, you've given up the 22 first-rounder.
You'd have Bouknight and Keon. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Keon Johnson from Tennessee.
How could you be mad at that? They get Keon at 17.
I would love that draft.
Most folks got him as like a top 10 guy.
Their mock has Corey Kispert going to the Pelicans, with the Pelicans trading up to number 9 and getting Buddy Hield. Kings getting the number 10 and Eric Bledsoe. with the Pelicans getting the 9 pick, just trading up a spot to get Corey Kispert. Kispert at the 9 pick is interesting. John, I didn't know if he'd go that high.
John would be devastated.
He wants Kispert.
I'm fascinated by where Corey Kispert goes, because there's such a, we've talked about this a couple of weeks ago, there's such a range on him. I've seen him high as top 10, like you suggested, but I've seen him low, as our man Gary Parrish has got him, as 22, to where the Grizzlies,
I don't
even
see
if
him
they
dropping
drafted,
that low.
Frankly, I don't either. Gary's is about the only one that's got him that low.
Yeah.
In this case, according to Gary's mock draft, the Grizzlies would have a choice of Chris Duarte or Corey Kispert. Kispert going to 22. I don't think he drops that low.
Who do you like out
low.
Of those two?
I don't think he drops that low.
I like Duarte, don't you?
I like Duarte better than Kispert if you're asking me about those two in particular.
Right, those two.
Just because Duarte checks the defensive box to me better than Kispert does. His potential defensively, I think there's more of a question. I know there's more of a question when it comes to Corey Kispert and against Baylor.
Yeah, the Baylor final.
There's more of a question around Kispert and his ability to be a guy that, and we've said why that's important, because if you're going to have another guard out there next to Ja Morant, you need him to be defensively oriented, or at least better than Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
Because then you get to a point where
he's a liability.
Two guys that can hurt you defensively there with Moran and Allen. So plenty to talk about, plenty to think about as we head to the draft next Thursday. Grizzlies right now at the number 17 pick. We'll see if they're active. Appreciate Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. We'll be back here in a second, pay some bills, and we'll wrap it all up. You're listening to Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Wrapping it up on a Monday, getting you ready for Giannotto and Jeffrey. Coming up next, 2 to 4, should be locked in. 92.9 FM, ESPN. Before we do that, though, John Rothstein from over at CBS Sports has got out his AAC preseason basketball breakdown. I found it very interesting because he did such things as pick the player of the year, breakout players, preseason first team, AAC preseason first team. He also talked to Houston coach Kelvin Sampson. Remember Houston, a Final Four team last year. Memphis had two really good cracks at knocking them off in both games as well. And remember, the first one came down to that Tremont Mark. What was that, like a half-court?
Hail Mary shot from half-court.
And it goes in.
That sucked. That was awful. I was sick.
Both of them won possession games.
I know. I
mean, both had their chance, and you felt like if you'd gotten either one of them, you'd sit there and you got your chance to be in the NCAA tournament. That never came. Kelvin Sampson, the coach of that Houston outfit that John Rothstein has got picked, and probably, and rightfully so, the preseason favorite. Mm-hmm. I think Parrish has got them, too, in his top 10, top 12-ish, got Houston up that high. Coming off a Final Four appearance, and sure, you lose some key guys, including Quentin Grimes, who is now headed to the NBA, and including, you knew during the season last year, Caleb Mills, but you got some key ones back, including Marcus Sasser, that guard, Tremont Mark, who we just mentioned. A lot of people think he's going to be breaking out now that there'll be more opportunities for him with Grimes gone. Sampson told Rothstein this, that he thinks there's four, he said potential. Well, there's always potential NCAA tournament teams in the AAC. In this case, he says, with Houston, Memphis, Wichita State, and SMU, his hope, Kelvin Sampson's hope, is that that's four teams from the AAC that will be making the tournament this year. He also called UCF, led by Johnny Dawkins, a sleeper, and said that Memphis, he threw this on, was the second-best defensive team that Houston played last season. You remember, they also played Baylor. Memphis right there was number one in the country, according to KenPom, in defensive efficiency. Remember, Houston played Baylor, the eventual Final national four. Champion. But to get that credit from Sampson, and you didn't really need it because metrically all the numbers say that, but to get that credit from Sampson lets you know you're doing a lot of the right things. Just got to get that offense cleaned up. And you are absolutely an NCAA tournament team. Here's the Larry Brown should help with that.
Yeah.
He should help on that offensive side and details and, you know, small things like that. I would expect Larry to help there because it can make quite the difference. All right, preseason first team in the AAC, you've got two Memphis players on the preseason.
Williams is probably one of them,
on
right?
On John Rothstein's, yes. DeAndre Williams, he's got preseason all AAC, and Landers Nolly, who was a first-team selection, if I'm not mistaken, at the end of the year last year, along with Marcus Sasser from Houston, the guard from SMU, Kendrick Davis, and then Tyson Etienne, who's back for Wichita State, and that is big for Wichita State because they were not going to be a tournament team without him, so there's hope for Wichita State. He's got Tyson Etienne as the preseason player of the year.
Wow.
Like, I mean, the guy's legit. You remember the job Memphis did on him, though. Defensively, Memphis was taking guys out last year, and Tyson Etienne was one of the ones they had great success on. Lester Quinones, I remember doing a good job there. All right, five American Athletic Conference breakout players. No Memphis guys. Does have the aforementioned Tremont Mark out of Houston, and then 10 impact. I thought Earl Timberlake should be in that group.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got 10 impact American Athletic Conference transfers, and right there up at the top, he does say in no particular order, he's got Earl Timberlake, the transfer out of Miami that some have in the lottery next year, including Gavone, or not in the lottery, first round, and then Chandler Lawson, who's transferring in from Oregon. So some good things for Memphis. Two on the first team preseason all-conference, and Williams and Nolly. And then you go from there. We all think Timberlake's going to be a big difference maker. We'll see. The question for Memphis is going to be a point guard, just like it's been for a while now.
I just want that Jalen Duren to come to Memphis, man. That would put it over the top.
Well, you should be able to make the tournament without him, but if you did get him, it would change everything in terms of the expectations. There's no question about that. Appreciate our guests today. Yeah. ESPN's Jason Fitz, Odyssey NBA insider Ryan McDonough. Appreciate their time. Brad, appreciate you helping me get back in the saddle today. Stay tuned for Giannotto and Jeffrey. It's a pleasure. For Brad, I'm Jason. We're gone.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.